I came to St Albans in 1958 when I became a teacher at St Albans Girls' Grammar School, Stags. It later dropped one at the secondary when it became a comprehensive. I used to arrive on a Monday morning, having travelled from Wellingborough, 7 years, and later from Warwick, 14 years, and left on a Friday afternoon to return home. In other words, a weekly commute. Fortunately, they opened the M1, which helped considerably, and I was on it the day it opened. I finally retired in 1994. I was invited to join Sir Optimist International by the head of PE at Stags, Winifred Rudkins, a larger-than-life character, as Janet Tansley and Diana Kingham could verify. The staff used to put on a play at the end of each year, and one year it was 1066 and all that. She played Henry VIII, not needing any extra padding. Incidentally, I played Anne Boleyn, and fortunately I retained my head. One had to be in a top job to be invited. No comment. I remember several formidable ladies, quite awe-inspiring, when I was vetted. I'd heard about Sir Optimist from my sister-in-law, who'd been a DU president, that's like the area president, and she was very keen. I know I was told off several times for frivolous behaviour, but that's been my lot. I remember attending the Bedford annual dinner one year and arriving just a few minutes late. Again, a telling off. It was petrol rationing at the time, and there were long queues at all the petrol stations between St Albans and Bedford. So I didn't stop, ever hopeful. I kept going and eventually ran out of petrol half a mile from the venue. I didn't want to be booked for parking illegally. Fortunately, there was a policeman nearby, so I asked him where the nearest garage was. He very kindly said, "Come with me." I must add, I was wearing a long gold patterned evening dress, a fur stole, and 3-inch heels. I nearly got a fit of the giggles, as I must have looked as if I'd just been arrested. Fortunately, there was a police car at the garage, so I got a lift back to my car. I had a memorable visit to a friendship link in France. The town was called Nevers. I drove my car, never having driven on the wrong side of the road before, and my passengers were Claire Smith, great fun, Jean Wingfield, very prim and proper, and Audrey Collins. You'll have heard of Audrey before, head of science and deputy head at Stags, a pioneer of women's cricket, and a great character. Incidentally, I made her a cricket field cake for her 80th birthday, complete with scoreboard, wickets, bails, and players. Another member also had her 80th birthday later, Mary Barkis, so I had to make a computer cake for her. I borrowed a typewriter to see that I got the keys in the right order. I know you probably think me a troglodyte, a cave dweller for not having a computer yet. But that's another long story. We stayed at several B&Bs on the way down, and the first morning, after about an hour, Audrey said, "Time for a coffee stop, I think." Jean disapproved, saying it was too soon after breakfast. We stopped anyhow. Audrey went to the boot of my car and got her primer stove out, and so we had a brew up. We three explained to Jean that she could watch if she wanted to. We were very welcome at Nevers and treated very well. The highlight of Nevers was a convent which had the embalmed body of Bernadette Soubirous, a very, very tiny little lady. It was she who had a vision of the Madonna in the convent garden, which eventually resulted in the founding or the setting up of Lourdes, no, not the cricket ground, still a place of pilgrimage and quite a lot of many miracle cures. My low light being entertained by the club on a tour of some interesting caves, ending in a wine and cheese session. It was incredibly cold, and I'm allergic to cheese and don't drink wine. My other visit to a sister club was to Margaret Van Lanmartin's club in the USA. I went over for an international conference in San Francisco. Fascinating, and not without incident. We were all invited to a baseball game before the conference started, or something else, I forget what. All the Brits and the Aussies opted for the game. I was used to going to cricket and rugby matches as a spectator, I must add, but it was a real eye-opener for me. Give me cricket or rugby any time. The spectators treated it as a mammoth picnic. I don't think they stopped eating the whole time. We were also there for the July the 4th, which is Independence Day. Margaret said that she would like to take a friend and me down to meet some friends with a boat. So we went by tram rather than by coach. It was a wonderful firework display, and the friends gave us a meal on their boat. Unfortunately, Margaret hadn't realised that taxis and buses clocked off after the fireworks, and so we faced a long walk back to the hotel. She and I were fine, but her friends were shattered and limping after about walking uphill for about a mile. Margaret wasn't fazed. She walked into a nearby hotel and politely said, "Could they ring for a taxi, please?" Which they did. Problem sorted. I had an evening with her club, which was most enjoyable, and told them about my previous visit to America. I was staying with friends in Vancouver, and they thought we could just pop over the border and spend a couple of days in the USA. Fine till we got to the border, and a very large policeman, and I mean very large, came over to the car and inquired, "All Canadians?" They were, but I automatically said no. So he asked for my passport and visa. And when I was told that I had asked and I'd been told that a visa wasn't necessary for that sort of trip. But he said, "Oh, they always get it wrong. Come with me." So I went into his office where I was questioned and said it was just for 2 days and nights. So he took my passport and wrote, "Paroled into the United States for 48 hours, added the date and let me go back to the car. Margaret's Club were highly amused that I'd only been paroled. Anyhow, it was obviously good behaviour because they let me back." Another story of Audrey. In an auction of promises, I offered to take somebody and collect them from Heathrow. Audrey bought the deal. When she rang to book for the flight, I only remember it was a Friday, and not unnaturally, I asked about the return trip. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? No, she said, Tuesday. You may wonder where her destination was. Australia. One of her old cricketing friends was to be the subject of a This Is Your Life on TV, and Audrey was to be the surprise guest. On arrival back to St Albans, she invited me in for a coffee and chat about what she'd been up to. I heard her voice from the kitchen. "Oh bother, I've run out of coffee." Followed by, "Oh dear, that's all right. There's still some in the pot I had on Friday before going to Australia. I'll just heat it up." Now that's forethought. We held our meetings at St Michael's Church Hall, St Albans, for 1 year, and at the annual dinner I sat next to the vicar. He mentioned some people had just been acting like barbarians outside. I responded by saying the only barbarians I knew about was a wonderful rugby club which I'd seen several times. At the end of the evening, he said he had enjoyed our conversation, adding that he questioned his wife before coming what he might be talking about at a Sir Optimist Club dinner. It certainly wasn't rugby. We used to have a summer garden party at Leela and Dorothy's garden, number 3. Sandridge Road. We also had a croquet tournament. Very intense on occasions, but great fun. Several members of the club formed a steel band, and it became quite well known. They even had a float at the St Albans Carnival. In my 54 years of Sir Optimism, I've made some good friends and many interesting experiences, both good and not so good. Been to many places. Certainly the status of women has changed considerably. There is still some way to go and some areas to cover. So keep going, ladies. Thank you very much.